Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there was a little bit of information mentioned about attire, and when I walked in this morning, I had a few people come up to me and tell me, Sam, something must be up today. And I was like, why would you say that? Well, you're wearing a jacket. Well, maybe I need to adjust my wardrobe choices so I'm not so predictable. And speaking of attire, thank you, wife, for putting out this green shirt because you do care for my well-being. Thank you very much for that as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I pray, O Lord, that you forgive me. Lord, I pray that I not stand in the way of the message that you have for your people today. Lord, I pray that you take charge and control of my tongue and let the words that proceed out of my mouth be from you. Lord, I pray that you speak to us, all of us, myself included, and that the words penetrate our hearts and change our lives. Lord, let us not go from this place the same as we came, but let us go changed for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the thesis of this series is that of God's story having the definition of history. See, on a personal level, all of our stories should be one that is about the intersection between God's story and our story on a personal level. We just learned over the last couple of weeks about Adam, Noah, Abraham, and Moses. And then last week, we had a chance to hear about the blessings of the kingdom through King David. But today's message is about the burden of the king. And oh, what a burden it was for me to know that I am going to have the privilege to be able to speak about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I must admit that I am not able in the mere 30 minutes to talk about the magnificence of our Lord. It would take days for us to do that. So I pray that you bear with me as the sermon is divided into two parts. And the first part is looking at the burden of the king. And the second part is application, because I don't want you to just come here to church to hear a good story. I want you to be able to go from church today being able to do something for the Lord. Because that's why we're here. The Word of God is just not a history lesson, but it tells you how to live your life. And in light of that, I do know that the best way to make friends is to get to the point and be quick and brief about it. So that's what I'll do. Isaiah did this in Isaiah chapter 53. You can take the Gospels and you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know, it might take you some time to do it. But here in Isaiah chapter 53, we sum up the reason why Jesus Christ came. And we are going to look at a number of different scriptures today, because in light of sharing God's story with you, what better way than to read from His Word? Words that came out of His mouth, and hear it from Him Himself. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 53, and in reverence of the Word of God, please rise as we read through these words. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Please be seated. What a promise of God. In that, we can see that Jesus has accomplished so many things for us. The burdens that he bore on himself for us transcends many different things, from your physical ailments to your spiritual need. Jesus took all of it upon himself. And that's what we're going to take a look at. But you can see at the last part of that verse, it says, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Burden. So think about that for a second. Everything, the weight of the world to be on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Now, do we all know what the word burden means? Yeah, we might be able to look it up on Wikipedia and our phones, and we might have an idea of what burden is, and you could probably tell me some symptoms of being burdened. But here's how you know. I have a little quiz here that I would like for your participation. I'm going to read a phrase, except for the last word, and you're going to complete it. Okay? I'm ready to throw in the... Okay. I'm at the end of my... Okay? I'm just a bundle of... Okay? My life is falling... Okay? I'm at my wits... I feel like resigning from the human... Can you just realize what just happened here? None of you guys came prepared to answer that quiz. But you all knew it by heart. Not only did you know it by heart, but the person sitting next to you knew that. Why is that the case? The case and the reason is because we all struggle with burdens. These are related directly to burdens. Why do you throw in the towel? Because it's something that I can't handle. Why do you give up? Because it's something that I can't take on. My life is falling apart because of the burdens and challenges that I'm facing. So we all can relate to that. But the beauty is, the Lord has given us a way out. But here we are sitting in the house of God today, and we're weighed down with burdens. We know what the Word of God says. We know what His truths are. But here we are sitting with all this weight on our shoulders. And we come into church, come in through those doors, sing a few songs. And then we go out with those same burdens. Is that what the Lord wants of us as His children? Let's take a look at the story. The story of Jesus Christ. A few months ago, we celebrated the birth of Christ, and in that, we did recognize that he did come to this earth for a purpose, but the thing is, we spent a lot of time focusing on the challenges that Mary and Joseph faced. We spent a lot of time looking at the shepherds quaking in their boots in the wilderness, and we spent a lot of time talking about the wise men coming from the east. But did we focus on what was going on with Jesus? What was going on in Jesus during that time? And so I'm going to go through these 4 points here that refer to the burden of the king. And then the second part is going to refer to application, as I mentioned before. So the first point is, the burden was revealed early. So here's the scenario. We know Jesus was born, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, Herod is not too happy, so you need to flee and go to Egypt. Because the wise men did not return to Herod to tell him where Jesus was. And so they left to Egypt. And we know that Jesus had to be over the age of 2 before they came back, because Herod had all the children under the age of 2 killed. And so the angel of the Lord came back to Joseph and said, okay, Herod is dead. You can go back. Well, Joseph, fearing that Herod's son will follow in the same footsteps, rather than going back to Bethlehem, they went back to Nazareth. And what's significant there is they would take a yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Year after year, that's what they would do. Well, there came a time when Jesus was 12 years old that they had gone to the festival of the Passover. And, of course, whenever you go to First Mondays in Canton, you go to different places, and, of course, in the all the stuff that's going on, you might forget certain things. Well, these parents happen to forget their child. And here's the funny thing about it. They leave, and it took them a whole day of traveling before they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. My wife would kill me. So now they go back after traveling for a day, and they spend 3 more days looking for Jesus. And Jesus is to be found in the temple. And he tells his parents in Luke 2:49, Jesus said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now think about that for a second. Jesus was 12 years old. 12 years old, and he knew what the will of God was in his life. His parents had forgotten him. Jesus wasn't running around to find his parents. He was doing the will of God. Now, I know when I lose something. For example, I do work at the annuity board, Guidestone, and we do have a name tag that we're supposed to wear. And when I forget it, I do turn around and go back home and get it. Those of you that do work there with me, you know that we have a gentleman that assigns you new badges, the badge of shame, as we call it. And whatever is lost, we make sure we find it because we don't have to wear that. So I know you guys have lost things in your life, things that are meaningful, things that are important. And so these parents lose Jesus Christ, but he wasn't lost. They thought he was lost, but he was where he needed to be. Now, ministering to young adults, I find that this question comes up all the time. What is my purpose? What's God's will for my life? Man, myself included, here I am today at age 34, and I'm still like, God, I don't know where you have me tomorrow. This is where you have me today, so I'm going to do your will. But here Jesus is at the age of 12, and he knows where he's going to end up. Now, I can't even imagine what's that like if 12-year-olds are running around having it all figured out. Now, they might think they know. Heck, you have 22-year-olds that think they know, but they don't know. It was revealed early to him. When you think about that kind of challenge and that kind of weight, I don't know of anyone that could handle it at any age. Knowing of what is to come. Knowing that not only will you be crucified, but you will be separated from God for a moment. We can't even grasp that. And here Jesus is at that early age. The burden was revealed early in his life. Number 2, the burden directed his life. He left the comfort of his home. When Jesus went to be baptized, he didn't just stay there. He was led into the wilderness, and there he was tempted by Satan. And then after that, he went and elected his disciples. And you guys know that he committed many miracles, and he taught many things to many people. And so that burden, the will of God on his life, that he recognized at an early age, and we know that at least by the age of 12, we know for sure that that was the case. Here he is, letting the will of God direct his life. You know, we can relate to that. You know, these burdens that we face, you know, that we were talking about a few seconds ago when I gave you that quiz, those burdens actually dictate who you are. Because if you're concerned about things of this world, do you not know that those things are forming, molding you to be who you are? If you allow the things of this world to affect you in that manner, then those burdens direct your life. You guys understand that? The burdens that you face are in control, and therefore you are working towards those burdens or maybe the overcoming of those burdens or challenges that you may be facing. But here we know that the burden was pure and the burden was holy that was on his back that he had to achieve, and he let it direct his life. How many of you are open to the will of God, not the burdens that you face? How many of you let the will of God direct your life? You know, it'd be nice to say, yeah, I let the will of God direct my life, but the reality is we let the cares of the world direct our life. We let society direct our life. But here Jesus is letting that burden direct his life. Luke 9:51 says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Number three, the burden was heavy. This is something that we can understand. I have two kids. I remember when Michaela and Gabriel were younger, I would hold one in one hand and the other in the other hand, and I have to carry their bag and whatever the case may be. And I was like, man, they are heavy. Maybe I don't need to pack so much formula after all. But the thing is, there are things in our life that we consider to be heavy. Then why do we carry it? Why do we carry it? They're heavy, and in some cases, we can't even carry it. But here we are spending our life struggling to pick up these burdens and throw it on our back and carry it. I want you to understand that the burdens that you're facing, although it may be heavy, none is more heavy than the burden that our Lord carried on his back. Let us read John 12:27. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. John 12:27. Matthew 26:39. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but thou will. Luke 22:44. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. I apologize. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Luke 22:44. What you see there is Jesus being 100% human felt that pain. Can you tell me what other religion would take a God in his magnificence and bring him down to this level? And we have a God that can honestly say, yeah, I've been through that. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to suffer emotional, physical pain. Jesus was in anguish. The burden was heavy. He knew of the suffering that he was going to face. If you knew that you were going to suffer that kind of punishment and torture, who could go on and accept it like Jesus? I know I couldn't. The burden was heavy. And number four, and this is the point that I want to camp on for a little bit, is the burden should not be forgotten, but rather shared. Matthew 26:27 says, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant. Don't forget, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to participate in communion. And why do we take communion? Because we do not want to forget what he did for us. You know, there are some communion tables out there. I've been to churches where it says, this do in remembrance of me. We do that to remember the sacrifice, the burden that the Lord carried on his back on our behalf. But it doesn't just stop there with not be forgotten, but also shared. Okay, so what are you trying to say? There's this idea of burden, but you're telling me to cast my burdens, but then you're talking about sharing a burden. Okay, now I'm confused. Matthew 28:19 says, go make disciples of all nations. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but you endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Okay, that's all well and good. But the thing is, you have to recognize what burden means. And we actually read earlier today God's promise. How many of you were overjoyed when you saw that? That is the promise of God for me. Let's read that. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Hey, Kat.
Jesus.
Well, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
The smell? Oh, well, that's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. It's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so.
Right, okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that. Okay, I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I...
Come on. Just hand it over. All right. Let go.
Yes,
yeah? Yeah? How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy. Yeah,
just loosen it up a little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
The lack of trash.
Wow, it's just like, this is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well,
I just,
Get used to feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I got to get one thing, okay? Hold on just a minute.
Get one thing? No. Don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but you need to put that back.
Oh, no, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here, put it here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know...
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you. The real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. It's the greatest invitation of all time. And the thing is, that still exists today. When Jesus was telling those individuals, you know, come and follow me, the thing was, they wanted to come on their terms. You know, there were individuals that said, let me go do this first before I follow you, Jesus. There were some that were told that they would need to sell everything and come and follow, and they didn't like that because they wanted to keep some of it. And so that video depicts this idea of coming on his terms and not on ours. Not on ours. A lot of times people think they can set the methods whereby we come to him or how things are done when God has already spoken on certain issues. You know, in church life, it's interesting. You know, we think that church is a democracy and we all get a vote and we all get to say something as far as how things are done, and then we fail to realize that we operate on his terms, not by our preferences. God set those terms. And that was come as you are. Come on his terms, not on ours. That's the reason we need to come in the first place, because we don't have it figured out. The second thing is, come as you are. Now, can anybody tell me when did the church, and we talk about this in the young adult ministry all the time, when did the church become a country club for the righteous? When did the church become a place for all the holy rollers to get together and worship God? The reality is, this is a hospital for the sick. Who here is not sick? Who here is not struggling? Who here can say, I can do it without Christ? No one. You look around this room and we're all sick and we're all suffering and struggling with things in our lives. We not only come on his terms, but we come as we are. We come as we are because that's how he wants us. Because only he can be glorified. If I'm out there making myself righteous and pure on my own, then I'm going to take credit for myself. I'm going to take glory to myself. And the Lord will not give glory to any other. Only to him. Come as you are. And finally, come immediately. That's what we see there. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. How many of you in this room can say, I've ran my race. I've done everything that the Lord has called me to do. The thing is, there is no time to waste. You don't know when your time is up. And actually, on Wednesday nights, some of you know that we open the gym. This is after we have service on Wednesday nights. We open the gym for basketball. And we have people from the community, some of which are not necessarily connected to a church, but don't even know God, who come and play. And this past Wednesday, I asked the question, if your time was up, because in James we know that your life is but a mist, and if your time was up, where would you go? There was only one guy out of maybe 30 that we had raise their hands and say, well, I know I'm going to heaven. Think about that for a second. And so I told him, if you want to know more, please talk to us. Don't wait till tomorrow because you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Come immediately. So he's saying, come. He's saying, come, those of you who are weary and heavy laden. Now we need to take a look at that. What does that mean? Some translations use the word burdened. All who are weary and burdened. As I mentioned before, Jesus walked the face of this earth just like you and I. He had parents, brothers and sisters. He felt pain. We know he bled like we bleed. We know he cared about others. The thing is, he understands that we have real needs and problems in our life. He knows that. But the beauty is he offers a solution. He offers us a solution. You take a look at the word burdened, and I would like to break it up into two things. One is worry. This idea of worry. Tell me, why do we worry? We are fatigued and exhausted every day of our life because we're worried about something. We're worried about something. Maybe religiously because of the burden that the Pharisees or religious leaders put on you. Well, then our priorities are misaligned because our faith is in these individuals rather than on Christ. Or maybe it's because of the physical stresses and things that we face living on this earth. We worry, but Jesus invites us to be free. We have stress of financial obligations. We have emotional stress of family matters. Maybe you might be suffering with physical ailments, or you know somebody that is. There are so many things going on in our life where we, as human beings, can honestly say, well, I have a reason to worry. If you know what's going on in my life, you'd be worried too. We have heart problems, high blood pressure, and then we take medication for those things, and then those medications lead to other problems, and next thing you know, it's a cascading effect. We have problem on top of problem on top of problem. When the reality is, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 32 says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" He takes care of them. Do you not think for one moment that you're on his mind? He knows what you're facing. He knows what challenges you're dealing with. And do you not know that he cares for you? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothes himself like one of these. Worry is wrong because it is a failure to trust that God is capable. The second thing is burdened by sin, and this ties into the burden of the king. Burden of sin. This word burden means to load up as an animal that was put under yoke for the plow. Burden of sin. Now, this is an important part because there's two kinds of yoke that you need to understand. The Jewish leaders of that time were putting and casting these yokes upon people that they couldn't bear. They were supposed to live up to this law that no one could live up to. And then here Jesus is bringing a yoke that is supposed to be light and easy. That is in direct contrast of what the Jewish leaders were teaching at the time. The children of Israel, when they were wandering in the wilderness, they exemplified this. The yoke on their life at that time was the law. They couldn't keep it. You know, we think in our mind, you know, we joke about it all the time in our group. We talk about, man, these children of Israel, man, they must be pretty not too smart. Because God, here he does miracles in front of them, parts the Red Sea, pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, manna from heaven, so on and so forth, and they still sinned. But the reality is, even if God were to open the heavens today, we would do the same. Even if we were to see Jesus Christ face to face and see him do miracles, do you not know in our depraved mind and heart we would still reject him? The teaching was not always synonymous with God's teaching. That happens today. We're supposed to live up to these morals and standards that are impossible to live up to if they are our focus. That's why the new covenant was important. A religion or faith is pointless if it is impossible for the people to live it out. He is saying we are not subject to rules and regulations that no person can obey. Does this mean that we have no rules or commandments? Of course not. But what it does mean is in Jesus, we have freedom. In Jesus, he offers help to do what is right and gives us the grace when we slip up. What is the reason that you obey him? You obey him out of love, not out of a sense of duty. You do the law out of a sense of duty, but you can't accomplish it. And so if you love the Lord, you will end up keeping the commandments. It's not keeping the commandments to show your love for the Lord. It's love the Lord, and because you love the Lord, you keep his commandments. See, we've got it all backwards. But this is this burden of sin that we could not carry. As a matter of fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. That is a weight we cannot carry. I cannot carry that weight. Jesus had to carry that weight. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. I cannot carry the burden of sin. I'm engaged in it all day long, but I'm not carrying that weight. I'm not that sacrifice. Jesus was the only perfect sacrifice.
Acts 15:10, "Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" So what Jesus is saying is, give me your burdens. Give me your burden of sin. Give me that weight. You're not perfect. I know you're not perfect. Don't carry that weight. That's why I went to the cross. We sang many songs today regarding that. But the thing is, he didn't just say, give to me. If you read the rest of those verses, take my yoke upon you. So you're not only just casting your burdens upon him, not just the burdens of sin, but the burdens of worry, the stresses of life. Jesus wants that on him. Jesus wants that. But now he's telling you, okay, you give me all of that, but I want you to take something on your shoulders. Now let me tell you, there can be a lot of controversy. Scholars argue over this point. They say that Jesus would not trade one burden for another. But this verse right here tells you to take something upon yourself. And what is it calling you to take upon yourself? He will take our burdens, but he doesn't stop there. He tells you to carry something. Matthew 11:30. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's telling you to carry this yoke and this burden. Wait a minute, Jesus, you just said, cast all your cares, all my cares upon you. But now you're telling me to carry something? What are you to carry? The yoke that he's telling you to put on your life is the security of love. Jesus embracing you as my child. Gentleness of compassion and tenderness of forgiveness. That is the yoke that you are supposed to put on yourself. And when our lives are filled with that, with love, with compassion, forgiveness, then we will be free to look around and reach out with Jesus' love to others. That's what the burden is in regards to. Matthew 28:19, we read it. "Go and make disciples." 2 Timothy 4:5, "Do the work of an evangelist." And Galatians 6:2, "Bear you one another's burdens." Okay. Jesus made it clear. Cast all your cares upon him. Lord, here is the burden of my sin. I can't carry it. I'm not perfect, but you were. And because of your grace, I can live in truth. He says, cast your worries on him. But then he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. This idea of burden, the need to share, not just with Christ, but with each other. Now think about this for a minute. We're all sitting here in the house of God. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of you are taking, as Galatians says, the burdens of each other? Now think about your body. If my foot hurts, my whole body focuses on that foot, right? My mind is working to find a healing cure for it. Maybe I'm bleeding. And then my hands will go get a bandage and wrap it up. So my body is focused on that one part. We are the body of Christ. And when one of us is hurting, when one of us has burdens, we as other members of that body should come together and help that person. Jesus is calling you to be responsible for certain things. Jesus takes our heavy burdens of brokenness from us and replaces them with the burden of caring for someone out of love. And the amazing thing is that a burden carried out of love will seem much lighter than one that is carried because of all the brokenness of this world. Let me tell you something. Jesus, you take that burden, I'll gladly accept this one. Because there ain't no way I'm going to be able to carry that burden. And I know I'm out of time. And in closing, I want to say, we have a lot of things that burden us. They consume our affections, attention, resources, and time. But are they temporal or eternal? Are our burdens just about ourselves or concerns for others? Do we have big burdens about little things or little burdens about big things? Do we share the burden of lifting the eternal burdens of others through living in the center of the mission and ministry of telling the world about our burden-bearing God? You have a challenge today. You have a challenge today, regardless of where you are, spiritually speaking. God is calling you to do something. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you, O Lord, for the words that you had for us this morning. Lord, I pray, O Lord, that we received those words, that you opened our hearts and our eyes and our mind to understand what you are calling us to do. Lord, I pray that we respond to your move, to your conviction, O God. Not because these are my words, these are your words, reading from your book. Lord, help us to understand that you are calling us to more. You are calling us to be greater than what we are. Lord, we love you. Lord, help us to demonstrate that love by taking this yoke upon ourselves and recognizing that love. And understanding the burden that we are to bear, which is to take your gospel and care for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.